Listen.
Oh my God.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
I don't believe this.
Hi, it's Cliff and the Cliff and Sharon Radio Show, from broadcast to podcast.
Oh, I like that. Look at you. We've had a great week this week on our radio show. Mr. Booth announcer, what have you got lined up now?
Man buns. What the?
Oh, come on. Please.
Raking the leaves is not a job for teenagers.
Teenager or husband?
Bar, fart sheep.
Was the sheep that were fouling up the air on this aircraft.
First up, Siri gets tough.
It's Cliff and Sharon time for a little tough love from Siri. And I think, I know this much about you, Sharon. I think you're probably a little judgy-wudgy when it comes to identifying what people are drinking and what that says about their character. Is that true, right?
Now, you're only saying that because when we went out a couple of weeks ago and you were looking at cocktails and I raised an eyebrow over a couple of them that you were going to order, and I did say they might be for girls. So I don't know if you want to say I'm judgy or whatever, but you're probably right. I'm pretty shallow when it comes to that kind of stuff. But it's funny, actually, because on Saturday night I went out with a group of friends and I was just going to order wine, which is what I normally drink, except one of the girls, Erica, ordered a round of tequila shots. And right then I thought, that is setting the tone for the evening, right? You can't start with tequila shots and then go and have a glass of wine.
There's no going
back with that. And it's just funny because she's nearly always the one that's going to order the round of tequila shots. So I thought I might just ask Siri. Hang on, grab my phone. All right, Siri, what does someone's drink of choice while at a bar say about them?
What a person chooses to drink while out at the bar says a lot about their mindset that night and what kind of trouble they will get into later. People who choose to drink straight up shots of hard liquor generally plan on yelling woo a lot at maximum volume,
yes,
high-fiving everyone in the room and trying to fight inanimate objects like parking meters later in the night. People who drink fruity drinks generally will end up crying at some point in the night, throwing up on themselves and somehow losing their shoes in the bar. Hey ladies, stop taking your shoes off at the bar, it's gross. People who drink beer will basically just end up alone at the bar at closing time mumbling to the bartender like a loser about where their life went wrong. And finally, people who drink wine will generally end up telling everybody around them a lot of things that they shouldn't.
Yep.
For some reason, wine is a truth serum when people drink it and they don't hold anything back. Wine is the number one cause of all ended friendships amongst grown-ups at happy hour.
That's funny because you and I normally drink wine.
I never thought.
It's not going to come between us.
You know what? It's funny they say that because now I think I have a thing against people who drink Bloody Marys. I think those people are trying too hard.
Hey,
now think about it.
Stop it. I love Bloody Marys and you know I do. That's just mean.
Look at me. I'm drinking my vegetables. Woo!
Listen
to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
Okay, if your teenager refuses to rake the leaves in the yard...
Or husband. I'm not joking, because I was out raking on the weekend and my husband came out for like 4 minutes and helped put them in a bag, and then he, under the guise of, no, just leave them there, it's better, just let them mulch, they'll break down anyway, just went inside and watched telly and I got stuck with it and I was out there for 45 minutes. So, teenager or husband...
Well, we're all looking for the holy grail of excuses, right? And this you cannot argue with this, Sharon. The National Wildlife Federation are claiming that it kills the environment. I kid you not.
Oh, my God. The environment is so bloody needy, isn't it? Wah, wah, wah. So the National Wildlife Federation posted an article on its website saying why you should leave the leaves. And it's going viral, and I think it's teenagers and husbands are responsible for it going viral, actually. Basically, leaves create mini ecosystems, and they're used as a shelter, food, and nesting material for things like birds, squirrels, and butterflies, and blah, 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 all that kind of crap. No, I don't mean all that. I mean, who doesn't love butterflies and squirrels and things?
And all that kind of crap.
Yeah, yeah. But also, they say there's about 33 million tons of leaves and other debris from yards that end up in landfills each year, and that's a problem because when they get all bagged up, they don't get enough oxygen to decompose, and the methane they create contributes to climate change.
Just what teenagers need, another excuse not to do something around the house. Because my oldest daughter would beg me for 5 minutes more sleep in the morning. In the afternoon, she'd be dying to sleep, and at night, she'd refuse to go to bed. So this is a problem, people.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon, the other side of the news.
You know, people bond with their children in all sorts of ways, especially when they're small. I remember reading every single Dr. Seuss book, and I can quote the Horton hatches an egg. Ready?
Yeah, go for it.
I meant what I said. I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful 100%. And it should be. It should be. It should be like that because Horton was faithful. He sat and he sat. My goodness, my gracious, they shouted. My word. It's something that's brand new. It's an elephant bird.
Oh,
100 million times I've read that thing.
But those things, when you're a parent, they're bonding things and they're creating memories and they're exactly. rituals and things. And people really do have all sorts of ways of doing that. Lots of dads and sons play sports, or maybe mum takes the kids into the kitchen and they do baking and they do different things. And or maybe, you know, you let your 4-year-old daughter tattoo a strawberry on your arm. Or
what now?
Yeah, right? Florida, hello.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So this did happen. There is this Florida dad who let his 4-year-old daughter tattoo a strawberry on his arm. And dad says, look, it's a little bit wobbly, but it's still cute. It is cute, actually. This dad has already got lots of ink. And so he had little Chloe practice her skills on his arm without a needle first, just to make sure she was ready to hold the weight of the machine and control it enough to be safe.
Yeah, because you want to make sure your 4-year-old can hold the vibrating needle well enough to pierce your skin before you turn it over to you, you butthead. What are you thinking?
So there was this practice round first with no needle, and then she did the tattoo for real. And wow. So Dad posted the photo on social media, and a lot of people liked it, but a lot of people have said, hey, listen, this is bad parenting. What are you thinking, you knucklehead?
Yeah.
So
yeah. Next time she's 4... give her a crayon and a Disney coloring book, for crying out loud.
we've shared it up on our Facebook page. It is kind of cute. Wobbly, but cute.
No way.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon.
No freaking way, right?
Okay, thankfully and mercifully, it seems we're coming to the end of the man bun era. I've never got
well,
this.
Well, just wait a minute. Not so fast there. Not so fast. I'm not sure we are near the end of it, because if you do want to get in on what may be the tail end of the whole man bun phenomenon, then you can, and you haven't got time to grow your hair, or you don't want to grow your hair, or whatever reason, you can actually get a clip-on man bun.
Oh, come on. Please.
It's just like a clip-on tie, except, you know, it goes on the back of your head. It's a clip-on man bun.
How badly do you need to be part of any kind? And it's a bad fashion statement.
It's too big for a start. We're going to put a picture up on our Facebook page. It's too big for a start. It doesn't look natural. The bloody thing's huge. Like, it looks like, you know, you've got hair down to your waist or something all wound up on the top of your head.
Isn't there a Groupon for this, too?
There is a Groupon. There is a Groupon. So you can get it. Like, if you're listening right now and you're seriously considering this, I don't even know what business you have listening to country radio. I will say, because you just need to grow a pair and just not stop thinking about that. It's not a good idea. Not a good idea.
Maybe the clip-on man bun should also come with a pair of clip-on those.
There you go.
Listen to this
with Cliff and Sharon. For more, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Have you ever had a gas issue in a confined space or been witness to it, you know, elevator, maybe on a plane? It can be challenging.
It can be.
The noise outside, if you're on a plane, can help hide the sound. the recirculated nasty air in the cabin might help the beans that you had earlier in that day. Or you can, as they say, and I've never done this, it's something called crop dusting as you're walking down. What is that?
I have crop dusted, not on a plane, but like in a supermarket or something. Like, and truly, I can't believe I'm saying this on the radio, but you know, sometimes you've just got to let one go. And so you walk, it's like, oh God, I don't want to do it here because there's people around. So you go into an aisle where there is nobody, and crop dusting is just where you walk along and let it go. So, okay. And then the horrifying thing is if somebody, you know, especially if it's a little bit woofy, right? And then somebody else walks into the aisle and then you just die a thousand deaths as you, you know, run over to some other place that they can't see. I mean, it was just horrifying, the whole thing. Yeah. But this happened on a plane, a Singapore Airlines flight from Sydney, Australia. It was going to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And they had to make an emergency landing in Indonesia because it was filled with too much flatulence. The plane.
It wasn't too much human, gas. Though, right?
No, it wasn't human gas, no, at least most of it wasn't anyway. It was a cargo plane with a four-person crew and over 2,000 sheep on board. So it was the sheep that were fouling up the air on this aircraft. And it produced so much gas that it actually set off a smoke alarm in the cargo bay and the flight was diverted. And it was on the ground for a couple of hours before they could clear the air, literally, and then take off again for Malaysia.
You know what? There's just nowhere to go with this other than the legendary Johnny Carson, who has the best line about sheep.
Sis boom ba.
Sis boom ba.
Describe the sound made when a sheep explodes.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. Subscribe to the podcast on Audioboom, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Pocket Cast, and iTunes. This has been a Bytes.com production.